God actually plans on healing the planet. Yes. He actually values this planet.
Yes, he does.
After he made everything, he made, he said, it's good. And after he made you, he said, it's very good. Verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. I like that it says every creature, not that I intend to lead the mule deer to the Lord before they're harvested. That was rather brutal. Sorry, somebody else. It's that God actually plans on healing the planet. He actually values this planet.
Yes, he does.
After he made everything, he made, he said, it's good. And after he made you, he said, it's very good.
Yeah.
He recognized the quality of his own work in everything that he made. And his desire isn't to destroy it. His desire is to revive and to renew. And the gospel that we carry is supposed to encompass a vision to bringing healing to a planet. If only the unbeliever has the vision for taking care of the planet, they will always make it a god. If only the unbeliever carries the message of bringing healing to a planet, then we'll serve the creation and not the creator. The church must recover our assignment. Not in contempt, not in not in a fight, but just stewarding what God has given to us. Preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16: He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Don't ever underestimate the power of water baptism. He who does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, like coffee, it will by no means hurt them. Thank you, Lord. Grace was extended over coffee. It will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Stop right there for a minute. Listening to a YouTube video, but it was just audio. There was nothing to watch. On John Wesley, on somebody reading out of his personal journal. And he was, I don't remember all the details, but he was extremely sick, very, very ill. And this verse came to mind, that these signs will follow those who believe. Now, John Wesley is the father of the whole Methodist movement. He has this verse come to mind. These signs will follow them who believe. And he prays, and he experiences a bizarre supernatural healing of something that was derailing him from his extensive travels in preaching the gospel. And he was able to step back into the pulpit because of the miracle of healing that he experienced in his own body. I love reading the stories of some of these saints of old who believed in this, but somehow it got removed from the history books. It's true. The Shantung revival in China, one of the most bizarre Baptist revivals ever, had almost every manifestation in that revival that happened in Toronto. But in the reprint of the book, all those things are removed to make it clean. Randy Clark printed the original, so you can find it. The point is, these signs follow those who believe. You know, when we have a healing meeting, people will say, well, you're not supposed to follow signs. Signs are supposed to follow you. Well, my response is, if they're not following you, follow them till they follow you. It'll, you know, if you're in the environment long enough, it'll get on you. That's the truth. All right, let's wrap it up. Verse 19 and 20. After the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Read verse 20 again. This is fascinating to me, and I'll tell you why before I read it. Most of the time, we will emphasize, find what God is doing and join what he is doing. But in this verse, the emphasis is different. He said, the Lord worked with them. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Sometimes nothing happens because we haven't said anything. Let me rephrase it. Anyone can boldly make a decree after God has shown up and is performing miracles. But show me the person who will make the bold decree before he comes, and I'll show you where he's going to come. The bold decree attracts him into an environment to confirm his word. Remember, this is his word. People become offended through history because somebody who's living an immoral lifestyle, you know, prays for the sick and they get healed. Well, I don't like it either, but God's confirming his word. He's not confirming the person.
That's right.
It's never okay, but he still will confirm his word. Actually, no, years ago, a woman part of this church, her husband was not a believer, and someone at his workplace asked him how to get saved. And this unbeliever led his workmate to the Lord. That shouldn't be right. But he can do whatever he wants. In Psalms 115, God does as he pleases. This passage reminds me of the one in Acts 4. What is it, verse 23? He says, take note of their threats. Peter had just been released from prison. So he's praying. He says, God, take note of their threats. They've threatened that if we ever preach in your name again, they'll harm us. Take note of their threats. And grant that your bondservants can speak your word with all boldness. Now, the previous chapter said they were arrested because they preached with boldness. Mm-hmm. Boldness got them in trouble. Now Peter's saying, increase that got us in trouble. Apparently, we did it with partial boldness. We now want to go all in with all boldness. Wow. The church tends to dumb down the message so that we don't offend. Peter's saying, let's amp it up a little bit here. I didn't give you permission to be obnoxious. Take note of the threats. Grant that your bondservants can speak your word with all boldness while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. I just want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. Let the message of the resurrected Christ boil in you until you cannot help but speak. Because the bold proclamation is what attracts the hand of God into impossible situations. Yes. The decree releases the hand of God. We don't control him by any means, but he's already revealed his heart to us. And he's looking for a people who will boldly declare. And so this verse ends the chapter and it ends our message this morning. They went out, preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Every time you stop and talk to a friend about the Lord, every time you take just that moment at work or at home in your neighborhood, whatever, just to pray for a friend who is going through hell, every time you take any one of those moments, what you're doing is you're declaring Jesus is alive, and I want now to introduce you to the resurrected one. Everything in our relationship with the Holy Spirit is about discovering and manifesting the resurrected Christ. Everything is connected, because without the resurrection, there is no forgiveness of sin. It is all connected to the resurrection. You and I are alive to illustrate he's alive. Why don't you stand? Jesus came, took on flesh, gave himself as a sacrifice to pay a price none of us could afford. He paid it so that the power of self-destruction would be broken off of our lives forever. He paid it. He took my place in death so I could take his place in life. He conquered death. He rose from the dead. And now we make the proclamation. Jesus is here to save. He is here to deliver. He is here to heal.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you watched this video. I do pray that it's a great, great strength and encouragement to you. And I've got a verse that really is my cry for all of us. And it's Psalms 20, it's verse 4. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. That's my prayer. That's my prayer, is that this would be the season of rich, rich fulfillment. Thanks for joining us.